Wow. Wow. Man, y'all showed up a good day. We're glad y'all are here. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord. Wow. God, you're amazing. You're beyond anything that we can wrap our head around, and we are so very grateful. Thank you for our kids. Oh, Lord, we see them. We see your love in them most of the time, and we are grateful for that. Thank you. Thank you that they remind us what it means to just worship, to sing. I thank you for the parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and good friends who raise up our kids. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we get to be in this space. We get to be together in your name. When we leave here, when may we leave here with the assurance that we have been with you and that you go with us in the day in and day out of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to think about what your favorite book was as a kid, now, or maybe it was been a couple of decades ago. But what is your favorite kids' book? Now, for mine, for me, of course, there was The Little Engine That Could. There are days I feel like I'm still going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. But there was this other book that was called The Little House. Not to be confused with Little House on the Prairie, because I come from that generation as well. But it was the story of this house that was built, or this is how I remember it, built in this beautiful location. There was lots of grass, lots of trees. And then page by page, what would happen is you would have houses and buildings being built around it. So at the end of the book, the little house was scrunched in amongst the buildings of the city. Does anybody know that book? Thank goodness there are a couple of people here that do. I don't know if it was because I grew up in the country that that's why that one resonated with me. Today, I still feel at times like I'm scrunched in the city as a small town girl. But there was a book when our son was younger that we read time and time again. You may know it. Brown Bear, Brown Bear. We got any Brown Bear fans in the room? This is how it goes, I think. Brown Bear, what do you see? What do you see? I see a red bird, and there's a yellow duck. There are all these things. And then there's other books. We ended up with multiple books. We would read that book time and time again, and we knew what was coming. Just like I knew the little house was going to be surrounded by buildings, I knew how the book was going to progress. But we still read them. We still read them time and time again. Do you have books or TV shows or movies that you watch time and time again? You know how it's going to go, but you still watch it because it means something to you. It's Palm Sunday. Boy, did we have the palms and the hosannas this morning. What an amazing thing. Jesus comes into Jerusalem to cheers of a hosanna. Yet, day by day, the mood shifts. It isn't quite the cheers of what we call Palm Sunday. It becomes jeers of crucify him, crucify him. And then we will come back here on Easter Sunday and we will celebrate our risen Savior. Now, for some of us, we've been doing this journey year after year after year. Yet we keep showing up. And maybe we're here because we haven't been to church in a while and this season brings us to our seat or to dip our toe and see what's church like now. But the story has a familiar ring to it. But we keep showing up. We keep showing up to hear the story about how our Savior came in to cheers. That the jeers happen and then the tomb is empty. So today in this worship service, we hold in tension those two parts, Palm Sunday and the Passion. We're gonna spend some time looking at the story when Jesus is being crucified. It's what we will focus on Friday, a Good Friday service. I'm gonna read from Luke. We have been walking through the book of Luke during Lent. I'm going to read Luke 23, and I'm going to start with verse 32. And even though it may sound familiar, may we have ears to hear in new ways. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." We are gonna spend a little bit of time, not too long, I promise, on looking at what is it that we learn from these two guys who were there with Jesus as he was being crucified. The first thing that we learn is an awareness of needing Jesus is not a given. These two guys are both, they've been through the same thing. Obviously, they have lived out of line with God, or they wouldn't be where they are. But yet the response is different. It isn't the same. The one guy is like the rest of the folks who are mocking him and saying, "Save yourself. If you're the Messiah, save yourself." Yet the other guy has a different response. He understands. He understands his need for Jesus. What about you and me? We're in a church. So if I said, "Do you need Jesus?" most of us are going to be like, "Yes, we're in church. That's the answer. I know this one." Yet, do we? Do we know this one? Is needing Jesus just about checking the list and walking through life and our lives are going pretty well, so it's working out? If you didn't hear, someone said no, so they're all in. I love it. Yeah, no. Oftentimes we think we are, and it's not that we're right or wrong or good or bad. It's those moments when we need to consider, do we need Jesus? Oftentimes we find ourselves in a position during our lives where we realize that we can't save ourselves, no matter how much money we have, how much status we have, how good our grades are, no matter any of that stuff, we still got this hole that we can't fill with enough stuff, enough status, enough achievements. It's because we need Jesus. We need him. We need him at the depths. We were created to need him. So where are you? Are you at a place where you're going through the motions and you're like, "I'm knocking the list out"? Or are you at a place where you're like, "Oh, I so need Jesus"? That's what we learned first from these two guys, is the one who was clueless and the one who got it. One of my, I don't want to use the word fear because that seems dramatic, But one of the things that kind of throws me is when I'm in the grocery store and someone comes up to me and like, hey, Brooke, how are you? And I'm going, I got nothing. I don't know who this person is. I can't even contextually figure out how we know each other, but I know it is important that I know them. And I'm going to try to figure it out. When our son was younger, as we would walk away from talking with people in the grocery store, he'd be like, who is that? I'll be like, I got nothing. I don't know. They knew us. They knew us. We have come across them at some point. You see, being recognized is important. Knowing each other, being able to call each other by our names is important. And what the guy, the one guy on the cross does is he recognizes Jesus. He calls him by name. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, remember me. In fact, he is the first person that recognizes Jesus in death as the Messiah. Jesus. Jesus. You see, recognizing Jesus changes us. It's not just about going through the motions. It's that we realize we need him and we realize we recognize him for who he is, our Savior. And maybe we've been doing this a while and we can check the box. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. Yet in our depths, do we recognize him? Do we know when we need him? Do we recognize him as he comes into town to Hosanna's? Do we recognize him at the Last Supper? Do we recognize him as he's in the garden and he's praying, take this cup from me if it is your will? Do we recognize him when he's being betrayed by one of his own? Do we recognize him when he's tried by government and religious means? Do we recognize him on the cross? Do we recognize Jesus? The guy says, Jesus, remember me. We have had multitude of deaths in this congregation over the past several months. And we have gotten the incredible sacred ground of getting to walk with families through the days prior and after someone's passing. And we have these conversations with family members. And they will talk about, you know, my loved one, they graduated from this place and this was their career and they did this and this. But you know what? That isn't where we spend our time. We spend our time talking about the moments. About the moments. What it was like. Families, kids who are in their 50s talking about what it was like when they were 7 years old. What their dad did. How he took them to the library and they remember. I don't know about you as parents or grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles. But sometimes I wonder, what's my legacy? What am I leaving for my kid? What is it? What do I want him to remember? You see, this remembering that the guy is asking Jesus to do isn't just a nostalgic remembrance. It is a remembrance of him as needing Jesus. Remember me. When's the last time you asked Jesus to remember you? When's the last time you just called his name and said, remember me? I need you. I recognize you for being my Savior. Remember me. Remember me. I'm going to ask us, I'm not done. I'm going to ask us to pray, but we're not done. For those of you who are like, wow, that was quick. We're not done yet. But I want us to take a minute and pause. And I want you to pray silently to God. I want you to pray the prayer, remember me. And if there's anything else you want to pray in that, go for it. And I'll close that prayer. And then we'll go on to the next point. Let us pray. Hear our prayers, Lord, that we pour out to you in this moment. And hopefully, we continue to pray them to you. Thank you for being our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So we learned from the God that we need Jesus. We recognize who Jesus is as our Savior. And we ask him to remember us. And the last thing we learn from the guy on the cross is that the cross is offensive. It is. And I'm going to give you an example. It's an attempt to try to connect you with what I mean by offensive. You see, this guy, he hadn't been to church every Sunday. He hadn't read all the scriptures every day. He obviously had lived out of alignment with Jesus, with God's will. And yet, in the last moments of his life, as he's there with Jesus, he says, "Remember me." And what does Jesus say? He says, "Today, you will be with me. Today, you will be with me." You see, that's offensive. Sometimes we're offended that people get in to sit, they get things that we think they don't deserve. It doesn't seem fair. The cross is scandalous. It's radical. It's grace-filled. It's all about love. It's about sacrifice and suffering. Consider this. If you have a sibling, you probably think you are the sibling that does it all right. No matter how old you are, you're like, "I have been leading the pack since day one. I have done everything I've been asked to do and more." Like I used to, my mom would leave us. She was a teacher and she'd have a work day. She'd leave us. She'd leave this list of things to do. I'm getting ready to sell out my sister right now. She's probably not watching. It's okay. But mom would leave this list. And you see, I was the good kid back then. Things changed a little bit, but we won't get to that story. But mom would leave this list and it would be 3 o'clock and mom was going to be home at 4. And my part of the list was done. But my sister's wasn't. So I had to do hers to help her out. We got any of those in the room? No, it's just me, right? No, but what about this story? What if you're the kid that's done it all right and you're going to Disney World and your sibling, your brother or sister who gets in trouble all the time, gets to go to Disney World too? That is offensive. That is radical. Trust me, your parents are thinking the same things at times. But you know, that's the love of God. That it doesn't matter. Like, we don't have to earn it. It's about grace that he loves us. And that offends us sometimes. Those of us who've been doing it what we think is all good. At least I'm not like those people. I had a lady walk up to me one time after a recovery service. And she looked at me with a serious face and she goes, "I have been told it is too late for me." Is it too late? I went, "No. No, gosh, God loves you. Oh, how he loves you." Tears pouring down her face as she realizes that the cross is offensive and is for her too, no matter what. On April 10th, in this room, how many of you all are participating in Nemo? How many Nemo folks we got here? We have the musical Nemo. It will take place on Wednesday night right here, April 10th. And I encourage you to come the week before because Mike is going to tell you how Nemo is theological. I'm going to give you a hint right now. Nemo is about what type of fish? Clownfish. You know, they knew it in first service too. I'd forgotten what it was, but clownfish. And so Nemo is the kid of Marlin, who is the father. So Marlin's very concerned about Nemo's safety, and he wants him to stay in this specific area and don't go beyond it. But Nemo's like all of us. We like to stretch the envelope. For us, I think it's stepping outside. But for him, it was putting his fin a little farther than he was supposed to. And then he went farther and farther. Marlin's like, no, no. And he keeps going. And then a scuba diver scoops him up. And Nemo's gone. He's gone a long ways off. Marlin didn't, the father didn't stay at home and feel sorry for himself or go, if he had only listened to me. No, Marlin pursued him, went after his child to great lengths, far distance, a father loving his son. And a child who, when they realized what they'd gotten into, realized how desperately they wanted their dad. It's our God. It's our God who loves us so much. So, so very much that he goes to the cross on our behalf. We need him. Do you recognize him? Have you asked him to remember you recently? And do you find the cross offensive enough that you give thanks for it? That each and every one of us have God's grace and love. He pursues us. He is after us, no matter our age, no matter what we've done, big or small, in between. He loves us. He pursues us. Don't let this week go by without taking time to look at the cross, to spend time identifying how you need Jesus, recognizing him and praying for him to remember you, and considering how the cross is offensive. It's another great week to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. But it's just not about a week. It's about a life, eternal life, in the kingdom here on earth. May you know how loved you are by God. Let us pray. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, I just give you thanks. I give you thanks for those who are here. No matter what it is that we came in with, we get cleaned up and we look pretty good, God. And some of us underneath all of that, deeply or just below the surface, we're just struggling. And we hear the good news of who you are, about your love for us, how you pursue us, how you love us, and the significance of your grace. Lord, open our eyes, pour out your Holy Spirit, so that when we leave here, we leave with the assurance we have been with you and that you go with us into each and every moment of our lives. Into your hands, may your will, let our will be done. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.